Listen up, assholes. It's a dirty, dirty world out there. And I'm not talking about assholes. I'm talking about germs. Yeah, COVID, bacteria, jizz. And jizz is the new germs. Look, let's face it. We don't want to touch anything these days. It's gross. So be sure to use Jizz Off hand sanitizer. Because one spray wipes the germs away. Jizz Off hand sanitizer is made up of 75% alcohol. But unlike the others, Jizz Off doesn't dry out your hands. 300 sprays per bottle, made in the USA, and created by two women. That's right, ladies, keeping it classy and clean. So do yourself and your family a favor and protect them with sanitizer, masks, and wipes at jizzoffproducts.com. And be sure to use the code AHOLEPODCAST. Jizz is the new germs, so go to jizzoffproducts.com. That's J-I-Z-Z-O-F-F products.com and use that code AHOLEPODCAST. Don't get caught with jizz on your hands. It's embarrassing. Guys, we've all been in this situation. Last minute booty call, romantic evening with the wife, you got a manscape. You rush to grab that crappy razor. Ouch! Your weekend is ruined. That's why you need Smooth My Balls. Smooth My Balls is the next level grooming for the next level man. Introducing the Turf Chopper 2.0. The Turf Chopper has a premium alloy blade that glides seamlessly over those bad boys. And by boys, I mean balls. Never nip your sack again. It's also water resistant and easy USB charging. So you can plug it into your computer and multitask while tending to those testes. Order now at smoothmyballs.com and use the special code AHOLEPODCAST at checkout. Guys, don't keep the ladies waiting. Smoothmyballs.com and use that code AHOLEPODCAST. Hey, assholes, it's the big asshole, Doug Bass. I just want to take this time to thank everyone for listening to I'm an Asshole and subscribing to our podcast. If you love the show, do me a favor, tell two friends, and maybe they'll tell two friends. We're just trying to get the subscription numbers up and the downloads up, so I really appreciate everyone checking out the show. And don't forget to follow us on social media at A-Hole Podcast. And if you want to watch the videos of the show, we got full videos on the YouTube channel at A-Hole Podcast or at Doug Bass Comedy. Do me a favor, subscribe to that too. Oh, guys, we got more assholes coming. Here's another episode. Thanks.
What an asshole!
Podcasting from Basshole Studios in Hollywood, California.
California.
You're listening to I'm an Asshole with Doug Bass. We've all been one, so let's talk about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
He's an asshole, sir.
He's an asshole.
Hey, everyone. It's Doug Bass. Welcome to I'm an Asshole. My name's Doug Bass. What's going on today, everyone? Thanks for joining the show. Thanks for subscribing. All that good stuff. Our guest today is casting director, comedian, actress, Leslie Wolfe. Leslie, there you are. How's it going? How's it going?
You're my favorite asshole, Doug Bass.
Oh, there you go. Can you hear yourself now? All right.
A little bit.
Yeah, there you go. How you doing?
I miss you. I haven't seen you this whole pandemic.
I know. It's been weird. We've seen each other on Zoom and stuff like that, but now we're in person in the studio, which is cool, you know?
It's the first time I'm seeing myself on camera. I'm like, that's what happens.
Right, exactly. Now, we're also on Clubhouse right now, live, on audio only on Clubhouse.
I feel so violated.
And I know. I have my co-host here on Clubhouse, Ryan, who I bombarded the comedy podcast 101 and a half room, which is our room. But we can also talk about comedy and podcasting with people that are tuning into the Comedy Podcast Club on Clubhouse.
I didn't tell you this.
Yes.
I had just had a very short, I'm coming in a little loud on here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, let me lower your, sure. There you go. Is that a little bit better?
A little better. Nope, a little more. Higher.
Higher?
Just trying to be an asshole. No, actually a little higher. I can't hear myself now.
There you go.
I just did a 9-part series podcast called The Comedy Couch. Did I tell you about that?
On the Swell app?
Yeah, on the Swell app. Which is, I guess, a competitor of Clubhouse, so we don't want it.
I don't know. It might be. I don't know if it's a competitor. I mean, I liked it when I went on that one time. Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, I forgot you were on
it. I was on the first one.
Shut up. I am, what an asshole. Here's the thing. I was trying to tell Doug earlier today that I was like, I don't know if I have any asshole stories, but I'm like probably the biggest asshole I know. But what happened was they hired me to do this comedy show, but it turned out to be like this deep philosophical show talking about really serious issues. So I've always thought that comedians are the most tortured, dramatic people. So it was on brand for me because it was like using comedy as catharsis, but it ended up being the opposite of comedy.
Did you like the Swell app? The app. I'm just going to call it the app because I don't know if they'll yell at us on here.
Oh, yeah. No, the app is fun because it's audio only, so you don't have to worry about image or what you're wearing or anything like that. But it is a little bit difficult to understand.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was cool because it was like a pre-recorded and like then you went on live at one point and you could like go back and forth between people and whatnot.
How do you feel about Clubhouse? I haven't tried it yet.
You're not on Clubhouse
yet? Can you believe it?
Oh, my God. I thought you would have been on it.
I know. Everybody's sending me invitations and I don't know. I'm like...
It's cool. I'm going to, let's see, I'm going to just have my, if Ryan wants to just chime in here, I know he's a host on this room as well.
Cool.
He is the podcast host of Geekcast Live. Ryan, do you want to chime in real quick and say hello? Maybe not. There you go.
Fine.
Ryan? Hey, Ryan.
You got me, buddy?
I got you. Yeah, how are you? I bombarded this room with my podcast this morning for some because I scheduled Leslie Wolf, who's a casting director, comedian, actress here in LA, and we're like, let's do 9 a.m. And I was like, yes, let's get coffee and do the podcast. And then I was like, oh, wait, we have this Clubhouse room too. I forgot. So then I was like, let's just do the podcast with the Clubhouse thing and make it interactive a little bit.
I love that. And also,
hope you don't mind, Ryan.
I don't mind. I'm happy you're actually able to hear me. I think I'm in bumfuck nowhere.
Oh, really?
What do you mean? Where are you at, Ryan?
Yeah, where are
my
you?
My service is, I am in rural Indiana, driving around, doing my day job. And I'm shocked that I have service at all.
You're
shocked. But that's what's so great about these new apps is that you can literally be in a car in Kalamazoo and chime in. And that's what's so, there was this really great thing on CBS Sunday Morning about radio and NPR and Will Radio Die? And I think all that podcasts are is like choose your own radio, as we know. But you could do it from anywhere. It's so much better.
You can do it from anywhere. And now Clubhouse is kind of making this interactive per se, like as far as podcasting. So like I've been trying to do the podcast live in this comedy podcast club, which I know Ryan and I are founding members of.
Last night
we had Bill Burr do a Q&A with Eddie Brill. Sunday night it was packed. It went really well.
That's terrific. So, I love live interaction. People can talk to you live. I don't know if you remember this, but back in the day before any of this internet stuff, I was on a show on the stream.tv. Do you remember that thing?
I remember stream.tv, yeah.
It was before any of this live streaming stuff. He was like the biggest starter of it. But I remember you'd have to go to the studio, you'd have microphones with cords on it.
Oh,
But people would be able to interact, and that was the fun part, but they'd only do it through IM, so it was so interesting.
Yeah. It's like a whole new thing, and then there's like other competing apps coming out now, like versus Clubhouse. Like, I'm not going to say their names, but like, yeah, there's sometimes it's too much, I feel like, because it's like, oh, I got to get this new one, I got to get this new app, I got to do this, I got to be on everything in order to succeed, you know? It's like,
well, you know, I'm big on branding, so you want to pick what the brand is that you're, that's why it's so, I'm all about aesthetics. Like, some people love Instagram, some people love Twitter. You would think I'd be on Twitter because I talk and talk and talk, and I'm words are my love language. I can't stand Twitter. I haven't been on Twitter.
Yeah.
I haven't had an account on Twitter for 10 years, and I'm a comedy teacher.
I have an account, but I don't use it as much as I thought. I mean, I never like took off on it. Every now and then I'll tweet something out, but like I don't know. It's not my favorite app.
But it's the same. It's about usability and what you as an individual like. I had this talk yesterday with someone about, why does someone only love Volkswagens or only love Mercedes or something? It's the same with these apps. It's the aesthetics.
You got to try them all and find one that works for what you are doing and what you like. And, you know, if it hits, it hits, you know. And then
you have this great studio set up here. This is half the battle, as long as you have a great space.
Right. Great space, studio. The video looks cool, I think. So if people are watching it on YouTube, you can follow on YouTube as well.
Yeah, am I supposed to look at myself or look at you?
Well, that's the confusing thing. It's like that's what we've been figuring out, because like my co-host, Rob DeRocha, usually sits over
here.
He sits over here usually. And then, like, when we have the guest here, you know, he's like looking back at them, but like, you know, I'm like, just look at the monitor, like, play to the camera.
Play to the camera. There's the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even see it.
You didn't even know where it was.
That's why I've done so many porns without knowing it. Okay.
So Leslie is a casting director, a comedian, an actress. Let's just talk briefly about how you started. Did you start as an actress and a comedian and then go into casting? Like, how did you fall into all
it's
that stuff?
All so circuitous.
Triple threat over here.
I love you. It's so circuitous. I looked him up today. Sam Brown, may he rest in peace. I don't want to be a downer, but my comedy mentor, who did pass of pancreatic cancer in 2012, he got me started running all these comedy shows. And I think that's what made me become a casting director, because I had everybody in my roster. But when nobody had any comedy people, they'd be like, oh, if we need comedians, we'll go to Leslie. We know she's got it all. And from that casting, that's what brought on the Fresh Faces class, because I'd meet all these actors who would need help with comedy. And so they would take the class, and then they would have their brand, and they would have it for commercials. So I think it all ties together. And I love acting, don't get me wrong. Right. I actually just had a self-tape, and I was like, why am I, I'm 50 years old, what am I doing?
Oh, that's great. I mean, you were just in that Pauly Shore movie, right?
What was it called? I played Billy Guest House? Wife. Yeah.
So you're working. That's great.
I was
great.
On Molly. It was fun. Yeah. She didn't like it, just getting Molly's drug, not the lady. I love acting. I act once a year, whether I have to or not. And what's funny is when I'm a casting director, I can look at you, right, Doug? Is that going to kill it?
No. You can look at me. You don't have to look at the camera, yeah.
I often, or most always, get asked to do a part, because I'll be in the room reading with the people, and they're like, why don't you just do it? You're the best one at it, which is great. But during pandemic, you don't have that luxury, because you are doing all self-tapes. So people, I've done tons of projects over the last couple months and never even met the client.
Right. Yeah, that's what's weird. Like, I'm, you know, self-tape is like, you know, I do them right in here as well whenever they come in or whatever.
Yeah,
and
you're good at self-tape.
Part of me likes the self-tape, because it's like, I don't know, sometimes I feel more comfortable like acting, just like, oh, no one's here, I'm going to film this and go nuts or whatever, send it in, and either they watch it or they don't. You know?
Like, even though I'm a casting director, I get so stressed over self-tapes, and I turn into such an asshole, believe it or not, with my poor audience. I'll call him my husband, because that's what we're going by now. I bark around like I'm Kira Sedgwick on set, and then my little 6-year-old is like distracting me. I'm like, please, my eye line. Like when I'm at home doing self-tapes, it is all about me for like that hour.
Yeah.
But I think self-tapes are great. I've always, exactly what you said, you could go into a room and go, fuck, I just really fucked up.
It's like I feel more nervous like going in. There's like, oh my God, there's like three people there. You're like double thinking your choices and stuff. And it's like here, I'm like, I'm going to send two different takes, and that's it. You know, and
it's unbelievable.
I'm free. I'm in my house. I'm comfortable here. I didn't have to drive all the way to Santa Monica on a Friday for like a commercial audition.
I think it's going to change the.
I think it's going to change forever. Too, especially for the commercial stuff, because it's like it's
a funny commercial story.
But it's like everyone's wasting everyone's time. It's like especially for like the commercial auditions. Like I have to drive to Santa Monica on Friday at 4 to like pick up a mug,
Hello.
And then they decide whether they like the way I look or not. Like
this is what I wanted to ask you. I am the queen of saying take every opportunity. First of all, I'm going to put this.
Yeah, sorry. I need to get a little table there for people.
I'm sweating because I'm not menopausal.
You want the fan closer to you?
No, it's fine. I'm menopausal. I am the queen of saying, take every opportunity. Every time you get onto a set, it's a great opportunity. But I got a commercial the other day, I swear to God, and on the description it said, donut munching cop chasing skinny thief. And you know I was up for the donut munching cop. And I said, self-esteem. Where have you been all my life? Right. And I said no. And of course, it was a national commercial, so I beat myself up all night. I'm like, who the fuck are you to turn down an opportunity like that? But I knew that I'm all not about fat shaming in general, but I knew that I would go into a spiral of like lots of takeout Chinese if I had done that. So
I
respectfully said no.
Oh, there you go.
But we have the same commercial agent. Yeah. I felt this is an interesting thing to talk about, because as actors, it's hard to say no, because you don't want anyone to be mad at you, or you don't want anyone to think that you're not willing to do anything.
Right.
But if somebody submits for something that they're not right for, it really is a waste of time for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I love acting as well, but it's the kind of thing where it's like, all right, if something comes to me, or like, you know, I get an audition, obviously I'm going to do it, but like, I'm not putting like 120% into that anymore. Like as far as like, I can still do it.
But the climate is changing. Right. It's hard to do that because the opportunities are so few and far between.
Right.
That's why doing this podcast, which is great, and also you're a great comedian, and keeping on brand with what you do is the way you'll get a show created about.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like a lot of people just want people to be themselves more than anything, and that kind of brings it to, you know, your Fresh Faces comedy class, which is the. You know, a great. That's where I started taking classes with you back in the day, and it's always a nice refresher when I come in and help out, because it's like, oh yeah, you are remembering who you are and telling your story from your point of view while incorporating these comedic stories or whatever.
I love you. That's exactly right, and I love it when you're my teacher's assistant, because you are zero drama.
Oh,
you are so easy to be around, and you're so facilitating. And the thing I wish you have taken it. Have you taken any classes since the pandemic started? You didn't do any of the Zoom classes.
No, I did one. I did the one with you. I forget which one it was, but yeah, like a couple months ago. Yeah.
As they're evolving, they're changing from stand-up really to psychology.
Right.
And that's really what it's about without knowing it. So people are feeling this real added freedom to really dig deep and be honest because they have the block of the computer. So it's been really interesting.
Yeah, and it's like even doing Zoom shows, it's a, you know, it's not the same as a live stand-up comedy show, obviously, but it's I don't know. It's easier to explore certain things and like go into a deeper story. And again, going back to like self-taping, you're at home. So you're a little more comfortable, like, you know, just sitting behind the computer screen doing
and
it.
And what you know? Don't realize is like, even right now with us doing this podcast, I'm looking at your gorgeous face and I can see you. When you're on stage at the Improv, you're far from people.
So you're
not connecting. When you're on Zoom, you're right face to face. So it's so intimate and you feel like they're talking to
you. I think it's like, it's interesting to do both. I think now that things are opening up again, you know, I hope that like there are Zoom shows that are still going on, like even when, you know, live comedy comes back full force. It's cool to mix things. And like if you want to do a show in like, you know, Germany or something like that,
that's another thing. A lot of my students who take my class, which is ongoing, there is another class starting in May.
Make sure you plug it. Yes,
plug that class. Their mom from Idaho can be there, or their cousin who's in you know, Philly, and that's just something you can't do otherwise. And I think that will be missed when people go back to live. And also, I know the Improv's reopened, but they only have like two shows a weekend now.
Right, they're this weekend they're opening.
Yeah,
right? I did the patio open mic.
Yay!
2 weeks ago or whatever.
How did that feel?
It was good. I mean, you know, I mean, it's a shit show going down there and trying to get up still, you know. But it's like I got to go up twice in the 2 weeks, and you know, did like 4 minutes or whatever, and it was fun. I mean,
who was running it? Is there someone comics?
Gary Cannon's running it, and Eric Wheelo. And then Jay, you know, kind of coordinated the whole thing. So,
oh, I love Jay.
Yeah, yeah. So, they you know, they've been doing that for about a month or whatever. And I think this Thursday, this will probably air after that. But this Thursday, it's the last one outside, I think. And then they're going to start, you know, doing shows
inside.
They're
going to do 70 capacity rather than 200.
Right, right.
But that's another thing. Like when I'm doing my Zoom shows, I have 100 people on there watching. Yeah. Like it is interesting what you gain and what you lose from having a big crowd or not a big crowd. You know, I love to sell it out. I love to have a big
crowd. Of course, yeah. And yeah, like you having like the one time I did do your Zoom show, I was like, oh, this is the best Zoom show I've done, because there were like, you know, 80, 100 people, whatever it was, where I've done some other ones and it's like, oh, there's 5 people here. And
it is different.
I think I did a Flappers one early on and I'm like, oh, it's all us comedians and there's like one person maybe, you know.
And you
it's
don't
like,
get the love.
And yeah, you don't, yeah, exactly. I mean, the only thing that's missing from the Zoom show is like, yeah, like the laughter or like, you know, because everyone's usually muted or whatever.
No, but what's funny is somebody, I usually do it for mine, has to be navigating the show and spotlighting people and muting people that aren't good. It's like a full technical position.
Right. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You'd be great at it. It's fun, but you can't pay attention to the show because you're like spotlighting, muting, adding.
Right, exactly. That's the same thing when I started doing this podcast. It was like, you know, it's kind of like I'm DJing while trying to interview someone because I don't have, you know, a tech person just running all the crap behind the scenes or whatever.
It's totally true.
Yeah. So there's an art to that. Yeah, absolutely.
100% an art. It's a melody. It's a musician kind of person because you have to feel it and guess it in advance. What's the word I'm looking for? Not premeditated, but foresee it.
You got to, you got to like kind of sense like, all right, this is going to happen or whatever, you know, and pressing buttons and sounds and all that stuff. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been interesting. Like, you know, technically, like I've been fortunate enough to like know how to do a lot of this stuff, but I've also learned a whole new like thing with this, like live streaming and doing the cameras and stuff.
Business person. Right. I'm thinking if you've got this podcast here, you could help people come in and do their podcast and charge people.
I've already had a couple people like hit me up. They're I like the way it looks. Yeah,
You're such a great producer and you're such a great helper of people creatively. Why not?
Yeah.
What a better way to make money in the comfort of your own home while you're relaxing.
Yeah, no, it'd be perfect. So that might be something that we do at some point. Absolutely. Yay. Yeah. And casting, directing. Yes. So are you working on any big projects right now? I don't know if you can talk about them or whatever.
Sure, I can always talk about it. It's funny. What I've been getting into the most is called long form digital ads. Mm-hmm. So I've been having so much fun. I just did 12 ads for Alexa for Amazon.
Oh, cool.
With influencer Zach King. Do you know him?
I don't know him, no.
He's fabulous. His little vibe is that he does these transformations, these physical transformations that look like illusions. I'm not saying he's a magician, but it almost looks like magic if you look him up, Zach King. I guess he got hired to do 12. So when they called me, it was funny. They had called somebody else and she was like, hey, this isn't my vibe. Can you do this for me? I'm like, sure. It was like this great opportunity. And each one is around 2 minutes. So if you are ever on TikTok, which I never am, are you?
I dabble in it. Okay. I'm not great at it, but
they're all coming up right now on TikTok. So it's basically personifying Alexa. So it's like, Alexa, say it's time to dinner. Time for dinner. Alexa will turn into somebody announcing dinner. Say, Alexa, play me a lullaby. The crib will turn into a marimba, and someone will play. It's really, really cool. So I guessed that. That was a lot of fun recently. And right now, I'm casting a top secret Netflix documentary, but I'm casting reenactors. Now, here's the thing. I have cast a lot of reenactments. I have no pride whether it's fun or not fun.
Right.
But it is. Casting is also a game. You have to cajole people into doing some of this shit. Like, it's fun. But I'm doing that currently right now. But I couldn't be. I love doing. The reason I love casting so much is every time I do a different project, it's so different. So I'll do a reenacting thing. I do a commercial there, do a movie. So
yeah, it seems like you have like a nice wide range of different projects that you get to work
on. It's so much fun, and I love it. Yeah. It's funny because I got hired to do a Loop Group the other day. Mm. You know Loop Group?
No, is that like loop, like audio looping?
What
is
yeah,
that?
So it's like you're watching a movie and there's a scene with a party, but they didn't catch the sound, so you have to do the audio walla dubbing, in the background. Yeah. And I was there, and it's like a long day, and it's fun, and you're right by the mic. It's really interesting. But I was like trying to assess myself. I'm like, you know, when I'm casting, my brain is really stimulated. I love it, and I enjoy it. When I'm acting, while I like it, I'm not a huge fan of the 12 hours you have to sit around and wait in a trailer and on set and stuff. Like, so, you know, I feel like there could be so much more efficiency when it comes to actors and when people can get called and stuff like that. In fact, my daughter, Abby, who I'm sure you know about because I post her 27 times a day, she booked a commercial.
Oh, great.
And I was so happy to be the stage mom. I'm like, maybe I'm better as the stage mom than the talent because it's no stress. Talk about being an asshole. I'll tell you that whole story.
Stage mom. That would be a good like TV show for you, I think.
100%. Let's do it together. Because talk about being a bitch or an asshole. Like, I think that my daughter is like the cream of the crop. Like, but they call these fucking kids there at like 9 a.m. They have them dressed. They have them in the makeup table. I wish we could show pictures. She's just so cute. And then right before she goes on to shoot, and the bit on the commercial was she was in a Zoom class. They go, we need something brighter. Change your outfit. Now this girl's hair has been pulled and put in a ponytail. This and that. She's not in the mood.
Yeah.
So by the time she finally got to set, I hope it turned out great. But like, people have to know that you can't keep a 6-year-old for more than 2 hours.
They're distracted. Like they want to go out and do things.
But being a stage mom is my calling. That
would be a funny series for you.
Let's do it.
Kind of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm meets I don't know what, but like stage mom. Like
I've thought about it so many times, and also the different kinds of moms. Because you know me, I'm super like I want to be friends with everybody and talk. Some moms are total bitches. Some moms are so, by the book and even like today when I dropped Abby off at school, you're supposed to have the stupid daily pass. You don't have any kids, but like because of COVID, they have to get tested weekly and you have to have this printed out. It's almost like a barcode for each kid to go
scan
in.
It. Yeah.
But when I went to get the COVID test, of course, my daughter is a princess, so she wasn't going to get the nasal swab. I insisted she get the spit test.
Okay.
It's not even the cheek one. It's horrible. It's like you have to spit into the spittoon like up to here. It's horrible. And it never linked, I guess. We probably didn't give them enough spit for it to link. But luckily, because of the commercial, I had her COVID test. So she got in the first day of school. And see, there it is. Support the show. Yeah. That's the kind of thing. It looks like that thing. So I drop her off at school on my way here today. And there's a mom named Mary who I absolutely love. And she's like, can you give me her daily pass? I'm like, she's good. Like, she got the test. She's good.
Yeah.
No, you need the daily pass to get in. I was
she's a working actress. Excuse me. Please let her into school.
She's gotten in.
But like, she'll be leaving again for an audition soon.
I don't think the rules apply to me somehow.
Right.
Like, I really do. I mean, even as being a mom has made me into even more of a pain in the ass.
Well, we are talking to casting director, comedian Leslie Wolf. If anyone on Clubhouse wants to ask questions about acting or casting directors or comedians, anything like that, feel free to raise your hand.
And some of the things I've recently cast, if they have questions, is I cast all the sketches on A Little Late with Lily Singh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I cast a really
How's dark, that show doing? That's
it's doing
that's,
great, but she did it mostly out of her house during pandemic, I think they just had the writers hire all the people I had already cast for a season.
That's cool.
Was so cool. I love Lily. She's so great.
Yeah, I've watched that show a couple of times. It's pretty funny. Yeah,
you should be on it.
I know. I'll just show up.
No, for like, sketches. Hey. For real. You're so good.
No, I'd love to be on it.
But you're a joy to have around, period.
All right. Well, this is the I'm an Asshole show. We're actually, it's called I'm an Asshole. I'm toying with the idea of changing the name to I'm a Basshole. Because I've been running into some
Dennis Leary problems.
just advertising problems. Like as far as like, you know, like I'm not able, they places won't even allow me to advertise the show on, like, you know, podcasts.
Because you can't platforms. Say the word.
But I've censored it out also. Like, in print, I'm an a-hole or I'm a asterisk hole. You know, they're like, nope. Or like the dollar signs are too close to the word asshole. So like now I'm like, you know, it'll still be called I'm an asshole, but on print I'm a basshole. And by basshole, I mean asshole. I don't know.
No.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Fix. Yes.
I'm a basshole, but put the B in parentheses. So the B is in two open and closed parentheses.
Right.
So it's a B in front of asshole so people can see that it's asshole.
B with parentheses around the B.
Each side of the B.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then it would look cool.
Right.
And then people are like, oh, he's an asshole, but it's a basshole. And then they're.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's what I'm toying with because it's like, you know, it's like you want to advertise this because like one platform allowed me to do the censored version of asshole. And it was like, great. Okay, cool. And like, then I guess started getting a lot of subscribers off that. And then another company was like, no, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Knowing you, I think it's so on brand and it's perfect. And you're not really. Like, I don't want to say you're a curmudgeon, but for your comedy and stuff, you're just unapologetic.
Right.
So that's, I don't think, I mean, you're the furthest from an asshole. You're actually the biggest sweetheart that ever lived, but I'm saying.
But I can be one. I mean, we all are one.
No, so. But you can be.
Yeah.
For your comedy, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, ask my wife, sure.
I love, I don't know, we've never had a conversation, but I want to with her.
She's amazing. You will. So anyway,
I like that.
What we're toying with right now, that idea.
But titles are so important. You have to like it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this is I'm a basshole or asshole. so people come on here and they talk about a time that they may have been an a-hole. Could be an isolated incident, a chunk of time in your life, a story. Maybe someone thought you were one, or maybe you dealt with an asshole recently. You want to like just get it off your chest and complain about them. Anything that you're comfortable with along those lines that you'd like to share with the audience today.
It's so funny, Doug, because I think becoming a mom has made me an asshole. I always had underlying asshole tendencies, but was always so worried about people pleasing and people liking me that I didn't act on my asshole tendencies. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm a mom, I don't want to say I'm like a helicopter mom, but I won't let anyone mess. Like if I was in the animal kingdom, I would definitely be the mom that's killing the people that are coming through. So it was the first day of ETK at her school at 3rd Street, and there's this big girl who looked like she was like 17, but she was in TK with her. And when I picked up Abby from school, she ran out crying, and Abby, you know, is a little pipsqueak. I was like, what happened? And she's like, Lana pushed me to the ground. So I heard her, and I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, any normal mom would take her in the car and go home.
Right.
I went right up to Lana, who's a TKer. I grabbed her by the arm with like the pinch of like a hermit crab, and I was like, hey, guess what? I'm bigger than you. How would you like it if I pushed you to the ground? And I literally threatened this ETK or her. And it was not a good look.
Right.
Of course, after going home, I realized that probably wasn't the best thing. And I know she was very interested in France and all things French. So that next day I brought her like a Eiffel Tower pin and a magnet. I go, Lana, I'm really glad we could talk about this. I just love my kid. And I know you wouldn't want someone pushing you. But here, and now we're best friends. But that was like, good. Yeah. I'm threatening an ETKer. Like, that's probably punishable by
law. I mean, well, it's hard. I don't have kids, obviously. But, like, I mean, that's the kind of thing that would freak me out about being a parent. Like, yeah, but if another kid's picking on my child or whatever, like, you got to go say something. You got to confront them somehow. But, yeah, it's like sometimes I have such a temper with, like, myself or, like, you know, the dogs are running around, like, how you came over this morning and I'm on the phone with the dogs. I'm just like, all right, shut up. I'm like, you know, but it's like, it's like how do you let another person's child, like, know, like, hey, that's wrong, you know, and then hopefully.
And the same goes for when they come over for play dates because I have only one kid. So guess what? It gets exhausting to play with your kid 24/7. So I welcome a play date. That's like a break for me. Like if I got three kids over, that they play and then I'm having fun.
Yeah.
But kids today, and I don't know whether it's because they are with the nanny or there was something else, they're so disrespectful, but I won't be like normal. I'll be like a bitch and like yell at them. Like I was working on my computer while they were playing and one of her little friends kept tripping on my cord. I was like, Addie, if you trip on my cord another fucking time. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say her name. And I love them, but I think they like it because I'm like the cool mom who's their friend, but I won't hesitate. Like, I have no boundaries. Like, I need to, like, watch myself.
You'll
because I'm going to make it weird.
You'll keep them in check if you need to. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And is that, like, the kind of thing, like I would guess, is there, like, an unspoken code between parents, like, with play dates? Like, okay, my kids are coming over to your house. Like, don't be afraid to, like, if they're acting up, tell them to, like, all right, cut it out, you know, sit down.
That's a great question.
Because I don't know. I wouldn't even know how to start, like, something like that if I had a kid.
Let me back up by saying,
go ahead.
I had my kid late at 43. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, I'm a 50-year-old with a 6-year-old. And I had really bad postpartum depression, which people don't talk about a lot, but it was a very debilitating, anxiety-inducing situation for around a year. Thank God, knock on wood, it's gone, but there are underlying underlying anxieties that will always be with me because it's hormonal and everything else. So I'm extra high maintenance. Talk about being an asshole. I'm extra, like, I had a job on Friday and she had dance class, so her dad took her and he went next door and had a coffee during dance class instead of staying there. And I went apeshit on him. Of course, a man's not going to want to sit and watch a dance class. The other dads were next door having coffee and there were other moms in there. It's not like she's going to run out into the street. But I don't know if it's worst case scenario or something else, but I feel like you have to have your eyes on your kid at all time and you have to be in charge. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I rarely let Abby go to somebody else's house without me because I don't trust anyone.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah.
But when people come over to me, I'm overly involved. Like when moms come over to my house to have a play date, they want to sit in the yard and have wine with me and have fun. Meanwhile, I'm like, who wants to do dress? I'm I can't not involve myself with the kid. So
your house is like the play date central. Like you're the one hosting all the time.
Which is always what I was growing up too. Right. My house was always the party house. I think it's a control thing.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm so sweet that I want to offer. It's that if I'm the one watching.
No, I get
I'll let Addie have 47 Hershey Kisses at my house, but I'm not like going to let my kid have 47.
Yeah, I get it. Because it's like, we're the same way just being so, like, as soon as we moved into this little house here, we're like, my wife loves to entertain all the time. So she's like, well, everyone's coming over here. And I'm like, all right. You know, it's like, part of me is like, okay, great.
I noticed your bar. I want to come.
Here. Come over, have a drink. Yeah. Part of me is like, okay, great. I don't have to leave the house to go see anyone. But then it's like, everyone's here. And then the place is a mess the next fucking morning.
And then end the party. That's the key.
Well, usually like my wife will either go to sleep and then like I'm still, because she'll get up early, she works East Coast hours or whatever, so like then it's either like me entertaining everyone and being like, all right, everyone out.
That's funny too. Then when you have a play date with like the opposite sex, you're gonna love this because we talk a lot about fun stuff like this and awkwardness. There's something really awkward about hanging out with a man that you don't know that well, that's your age, while your kids play. It feels like a bad JD.
The father that comes over and hangs out with. Yeah.
Like sometimes the father is the caretaker. So there you are sitting at a table having like a weird first date with a dad.
Yeah. That would be like, me if we had a child. Yeah, I would be that dad, you know.
That's another thing about the show we could incorporate into our Stage Mom show about these later in life relationships, forced relationships you have with adults because your kids are friends.
Yeah.
I actually had a movie idea, which was called Playdate, which is about these people who had this horrible, embarrassing breakup. Like one of them probably stalked each other or whatever. Their kids, they move on with their lives. They have their relationships and their kids end up being in the same kindergarten class. So they have to sort of tolerate each other and reinvent their relationship as a different kind of relationship. I just thought there's so many interesting things because even us as comedians, and I don't know if you're ever going to have kids, but if you ever do, you don't instantly change into a normal mom. You're still a crazy comedian. Yeah, so you're still like a nutty.
Then it's adapting like your old life with your new life and trying to figure out a balance somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. And also then there's just so much comedy. So much comedy.
So much comedy from kids, I would imagine. Like that would be one reason I'd be interested in having the kid is for more material. But I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it.
But also, co-parenting, whether you're with the person or not, is fascinating too. Because my baby daddy, Anthony, who you know and love, he's super chill. He's super trusting. And I'm just so strung out and tense that it always ends up she's going to get hurt under my watch. Like last night she was having spaghetti and meatballs and I went to cut the meatball and the sauce went into her eye. He's like, if that had been me, you would have been cutting my D off. I'm like, I know, but I'm the one who always hurts her at the end of the
day. Right. Yeah. It's like the balance. And that's the thing when you bring up like, because a lot of my friends just had children my sister just had kids and then my friends that are my age are having kids now. And I have another friend who's having one in the fall. So like, they're all like 40-year-olds having kids.
Yes.
And like they waited, you know, last minute, like, all right, are we doing this or not? Let's make a decision. And then they did.
And by the way, it's fucking hard.
Right.
Like once you have a kid, you're pretty much out for the first 2 years.
Right. Exactly.
Unless you have total help and nannies and that's the way you want to do it, which is not what I did. I don't think I even thought about what would happen after the kid came out. Like I'm so impulsive and so go with the flow. I never had a doula or anybody helping me. I was just
do
like,
it yourself.
You do it myself. Yeah. Have fun. The day that fucking baby got put on my chest, I was like, what? Now what do I do.
Yeah, there's no book. Yeah.
Not only is there no book, but you're keeping this little human thing alive. It is right. insane. It's like a science fiction thing. You don't think about it.
No.
Because I love being pregnant. It was the best time right. of my life. I was getting waited on, and I looked so gorgeous because I didn't put a dot. I
well,
was
that's, so neurotic. Yeah. That is interesting because it's like you have 9 months, you're carrying this child, and it's like everything's still the same as far, I mean, you know, obviously you're going through, you know, pregnancy and you have your ups and downs and stuff.
But you're getting treated
better than you ever have. But yes, but the husband or the baby daddy, whatever, like, yeah, he's helping you, but he, you know, his world is still the same, you know, as far as he's
although
not,
I will say to the credit, in my case, much more, the dad does so much work.
Yeah.
They don't get the credit they deserve, I don't think. Or the other mom or the other dad, you know, if it's a same
that's interesting.
Trouble.
Yeah.
They actually take more of the brunt depending on how the mother is recovering.
Yeah. Well, because it's like, yeah, I mean, you gotta make sure, you know, the mother is in tip-top shape and whatever she needs and, you know, help out and
but
all that stuff.
But the weird thing, yeah. Doug, and this is so funny, probably based on mental illness, sometimes I'll look at her and it's hard to believe that there's like a live person that came out of your body. It's very hard to conceptualize.
Yeah, I can imagine that's like, especially when you give birth and it's like, okay, yeah, now it's real and now our lives have changed.
Especially if you have a C-section, it's like 15 minutes right. later, you've got this baby, you're like,
right,
what's
yeah,
happening?
Exactly, yeah. yeah. So yeah, I
you
can
imagine. You guys decide you don't want to have kids, none of my business, but I think you told me this
I don't
before.
Think we, my wife doesn't really want to birth a child, so I don't think that's going to happen. I mean,
surrogate.
She's interested. Yeah, surrogate, maybe, adoption, I don't know. We haven't really decided. I mean, like, I think I'd be a good dad, but at the same time,
I know you'd be a good dad, especially being such a good dog dad.
Right, exactly. But then sometimes I'm like, well, the dogs are enough or whatever, you know, and then like we like to travel and all this stuff.
Can I be 100% honest with you? You know my dog, Larry?
Yeah.
I love that dog so effing much. Mm-hmm. I don't even think my love, I'm being completely serious. Of course, I adore my kid.
Right.
I don't think I was as obsessed with my kid as I was with my dog. Your love for a dog, there's nothing that can compare with it, especially if you get that dog at a time where you really need
that
dog.
It's very different. And I've had my dog Waffles for, you know, he's 12 now. And it's, when he goes, I'm going to be a mess for a while. And like,
Which one is Waffles?
He's the little Shih Tzu.
He's so cute.
Yeah. But I've had him since, you know, I've known him longer.
He's how old, 12?
He's 12.
And Larry's 13.
Yeah, okay. So, I've had him when he was one or almost one or whatever. So yeah, he's been, and he comes to work with me. I have my own dog business. So like he's been with me for work every day for like 12 years. So like that's like an emotional bag that's like part of me.
No,
and
sometimes
like,
I will come home and I'm like, Larry, I love you so much. You know, talking to Larry, and literally Abby will go, why don't you talk to me nice the way you talk to Larry? I was like, no, Larry doesn't
talk back.
I just found a better angle. Great, the show's almost over.
Oh, my camera just shut off. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, no, where are you at, Doug Bass?
I don't know what happened. Let me see. That's all right. Some technical.
It's not all right. We need you back.
I know. I didn't even notice what happened. All right. Well, there we go.
There you are.
I don't know what happened to it. All right.
You got a nice soft sunset light.
It's back. All right. Yeah, I got to get better lighting in here. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So the love of the dog. Yeah, it's incomparable. You can't like, you know, they're just easier than people sometimes, I feel like.
Have you ever gone apeshit on somebody over how they took care of or treated your dog?
Well, I mean, I got my dog from a bad situation, so I went apeshit on that person and then took the dog from them because they had left it like in a bathroom for like 4 days while they went to Vegas.
What?
And it wasn't even that's how I got Waffles. It was like a whole thing where my real roommate at the time booked a movie and then found this girl to sublet his room, and she had this dog, and she left it in her bathroom, and went to Vegas and like just left it in there with like a bag of food and like no water. And it was a whole big thing. It was a mess, but I ended up getting the dog. I was like, you shouldn't have a dog, you know.
Oh my god,
that's
how
I got.
And that is true rescuing.
That's a true rescue, yeah. So there's an emotional story that goes along with me getting him as well. So yeah. It was a crazy situation. But I have the dog now, Waffles, and he's great. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting when you get, you know, thrown into these situations and whatnot. And speaking of assholes, you know, I mean, some dog owners should not be dog owners, you know, and some parents shouldn't be parents, probably.
I'm telling you, and it's so interesting because I'm a big lover of Dr. Phil. Hi, Dr. Phil, if you're watching.
I hope so.
And at first I just loved Dr. Phil when I was pregnant because it was like this weird craving. And then I was like, I think I still love Dr. Phil. But there was a story about a couple that their 3-month-old died and they were all like trying to figure out whether it was the mom or the dad. And I'm fascinated by the idea that anybody can have kids, because people with mental issues or present company excluded, but people who are like arrested development or learning disabled or stuff like that, like how are they going to take care of the kid or have, you know, like I think in high school I wrote a thesis, or college I wrote a thesis about fertility, letting people who have issues with fertility, because how is there no rules?
Yeah, and it's...
That didn't make sense. It wasn't very...
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
If you have, like, the mentality of an eighth grader and say you have physical issues, like you can't drive because you're scared or you, like...
But you can have a kid. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, that's the interesting thing where it's like, you know, it's just the human anatomy and, like, there's no... Yeah, there's no rule, like, against, like, you can't have a kid. You two cannot have a child. Sorry.
I actually think it's so strange that they, with the government doesn't restrict people who are, I don't want to say limited because that's so judgmental, but... It's not about having...
Well, it's weird because they can't really control. I mean, like, it's like, you know, you say you can't drink till you're 21 or you can't drive a car till you're 17 or whatever. You know, there's a law. But, like, there's no way for them to...
Because I guess it's such a spectrum or a slippery slide. Like, what's to say?
It's our bodies. So it's like, you know, yeah, how would they enforce something like that? I don't know, you know.
And then
it's
the,
like,
most able-bodied person could also be an abusive, horrible parent. Right. So
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm not, just to be clear, I'm not talking about people with disabilities. Because people with disabilities can live full lives. I'm talking people who don't have the mental acuity to problem solve and
people
things like that.
Don't know, you know, yeah, it's like people that are not capable, you know, maybe don't have the maturity level or whatever, you know, like become a parent, yeah. That's why you start with a fish. Then you start with a dog or a cat, see how that works out.
And by the way,
I always say people should have a pet before having a kid. If you've never had a pet, you may not want to try.
No, a pet is the biggest responsibility.
Yeah.
You also have to, like, really think about if you want a kid, because it sounds like a lot of times it's just instilled in us from birth, or our parents make us think we want kids. But, like, having a kid is a full-time fucking job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Sometimes I feel I'm a little too selfish, like, as far as, like, well, I'm still working on my comedy or acting or whatever.
You can be selfish and be a parent.
Right, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. all right, well, are there any other a-hole moments? Have you dealt with an a-hole recently? Do you want to share any other story that you're comfortable with?
Well, you know, I get pushed all the time because I'm a casting director. Mm-hmm. I meet a lot of actors, and not all actors are all there all the time.
No.
So I have actors. I don't want to say the S word, but they really keep in touch with me a lot more than I would like.
Okay.
So I've had to block people, and I've had to, like, be clear. Until finally I got an email from some actor that I've blocked on every social media platform asking me for a ride to an audition on Monday. And I was like,
what?
Right. It's so insane. And I was like, why don't you call an Uber? He's like, I'm afraid I'll miss it. And I don't know how he even got my phone that he texted me or whatever, but I can be a real asshole once you push me too far.
Do you find that interesting? Because that is interesting thing that you bring up. So you're a casting director, but you also are a teacher, a comedy teacher, coach. And a lot of casting directors, actors do not have access to, like, besides you get the audition, you get in the room, you do it, and then you're out of
it.
I give access to everyone. You are, like, the opposite of, you know, most casting directors. You have a class, you know, reach out, you help people, you call them, you ask them, like, how they're doing, what they're working on.
And there's pros,
like,
and cons to both. I've gotten actually pushback from people going, like, I've had managers and agents be like, don't call my talent directly, which... Mm-hmm. It's funny because I'm a comedy booker, so I know them to book. So I'm going to book them in a live Zoom show where they're not getting paid, and you want me to involve you when you're not getting a cut? Like, I won't even say who, but it pisses me off because I'm like, you know what I do at the response to that? I'm like, okay, never call them again. So they just lost their clients a bunch of work. Wouldn't they rather be buds with somebody that will have a shorthand with them and call them? So I've had pushback that way, but it is my philosophy to have relationships with all my actors because I repeatedly hire the same people. So say this reenactment. Very low pay for this one. All these people are not going to... Only reason they're saying yes is to help me, is not to help me, is to... Because they know I'll hire them from something else.
Right.
They'll all do this for $200 a day or whatever.
Working relationship, sure, yeah. And that's interesting. And I think, like, casting directors are, like, more accessible agents, all that stuff, because of, you know, Instagram and Clubhouse. Like, I see agents and managers on Clubhouse.
Yeah,
and
they want to be accessible.
You know, it's like... We do have... let's see. Mike Shea is a comedian. In Ohio, I did a show with him in Dayton, Ohio. Mike, do you have a question for casting director Leslie Wolf?
Yeah, I do, Doug. Hi, Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. What are some of the most common, or maybe, like, the most common, just, like, dumb thing that you see people do for in terms of casting that just will lose them apart every single time?
Good question.
It's so funny. It's Mike?
Mike, yeah.
Mike, great question. This is my answer. And by the way, people ask me to do these casting workshops all the time because I tell the fucking truth. I'll tell you right to your face what you're doing wrong to help you fix it. For instance, I just cast an industrial. And if you don't know what an industrial is, it's an in-house commercial for like Northwestern Bank or some sort of thing to help with like sexual harassment or something like that. Even though it sounds super cheesy, I love industrials because it's high-end drama acting and fun. So I had to cast 11 scripts, which meant I had around 100 people to cast. And I was doing this huge Zoom session. And my biggest pet peeve is if people come on and start chit-chatting and asking you about your day or getting off task, that's the biggest thing that can turn me off and have me not bring you back in again. Because you're there to be an actor, to do the lines, and then not do it. And another thing that really turns me off is if you have a very short audition and you don't have it memorized and you're reading from your script, then... If you can't figure out how to get prepared for this audition, how are you gonna figure out how to get prepared for set?
Right. Yeah. I mean, an actor should be prepared off book as much as possible.
100 always for me. And availability, right? Mm. So like I said to Doug, when I hire actors, I hire them repeatedly again and again and again and again. So if I need something quick, I want you to get it back quick. I don't want, hey, can I get it to you Thursday? Because by Thursday it'll already be cast.
Right.
Yeah. So timeliness, preparedness.
Yeah, you got to get it in fast, especially with these self tapes. It's been into like.
I have a hint about the self tapes.
Right.
If the self tape says due Thursday and it's Monday, get it in by Monday.
Get it in Monday. Yeah, yeah.
That role will already be long cast before you get it in Thursday.
I had an audition come in like a couple weeks ago from TPN or whatever, and it was like they sent it at like 11:45. I happened to be sitting at my computer.
Yeah. And 11:45 a.m.
Yeah, and it was due at 1.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, luckily I was home and happened to see the email come in, but then I had to get the cameras, get the suit on, you know.
But you know what happened? Same thing happened to me where I run my shows on Wednesday night. Right. So I got one at like 6:45 p.m. or excuse me, like 5:45. I forget what my show starts at 6. So it was like 5:45.
Right before the show, yeah.
So I couldn't do it. It was due 9 a.m. the next morning. So I woke up, I had such bags under my eyes, and it was such a waste of time because I looked horrible in the morning shoot. But when they do that, it's because they haven't found what they want and they're going back to the agent for last minute options.
Last minute options.
And so that's the best time to get
it. It was good. I mean, you know, it was.
Did you book it?
No, I did not. Oh. But it was, I got it. Like, it was like 3 pages. It was like a bunch of dialogue. And I was like, oh my God.
Was it a TV show?
It was a TV show, yeah.
Nice.
But it was like, you know, I got it in like a minute before it was due because it like took me an hour to kind of do it. And it was, I only had an hour and 15 minutes or whatever.
That's okay.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was just kind of like a stressed kind of like, you know, let me get it done and let me do it.
If we can amend what we said, I think it's different for theatrical like TV show.
Yeah.
I think commercially they'll go with the sooner ones, but theatrically they're waiting for all their options to come in. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, Mike.
Does that answer your question, Mike?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right, cool.
Send me your stuff.
Yeah. Hit up Leslie.
I cast all over the country now, by the way.
He is in Ohio. He's a good guy. Good comic. All right. And let's see. All right. Anyway, all right. So what were we talking about? Asshole. Did we go into another asshole story? No, we weren't.
Oh, I was saying, you're saying assholes anywhere else.
Oh, the actors.
I'll tell you
actors,
where, where I really was an asshole recently is on that set, on that commercial set, the fucking COVID compliance people on the fucking set were following me around to make sure my mask was on. I did not have one mask on. I had two masks on.
Was this something you just recently shot?
Recently shot. And it got to the point, and these guys were huge. They were like bouncers. I'm like, and all they were doing was telling people to stay 6 feet away. So they'd come over and they'd say, take your mask off. You could take it off. You could put your mask on. And I was like, I got it. You're doing a great job. Like I was being probably a little bit condescending to them. And finally they were like, ma'am, if you don't comply, you're going to be thrown off the set. And I was like, I've got two masks on. What is your problem?
That's got to be a whole other thing. Cause I haven't shot anything with the COVID compliance thing. I mean, the only thing I did, The Price is Right. And that was kind of the same.
Oh, you did? That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. You know,
did you win?
I only won like $300.
That's awesome.
I didn't get on stage to play with Drew. I only had like two chances to bid or whatever. So, you know, it was
I
fun.
Can't wait.
But yeah, it was the whole COVID thing when you're on set now was weird. You had so many restrictions and testing.
So much about set is wanting to mingle with your people and be at craft service, and it's all different.
No more craft service, right?
Or is it talk about no more craft service. I was at this looping thing for 6 hours and there was not even a cracker in sight. I was like, lightheaded. They can't offer you food.
Right. Yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah, I mean, I don't know when things will go back to normal for that kind of stuff. I mean,
you know, but that's what I even wonder about the improv, whether they'll still be able to order food and serve food.
Well, they do. I had food on the patio, but they bring it to you in a to-go box right now. I don't know if they'll be changing that when they go inside or what, but on the patio it was all sealed in a box, and they gave you, you know, your plastic. Well,
I even saw something on the news saying you don't even have to wear a mask outside if you're vaccinated or something.
Yeah, apparently that's the new thing. So I don't know, it'll be interesting this summer to see exactly like what happens.
They did say you have to show proof of vaccination to get into the improv. That's a little bit much.
Comedy Store and the Improv and Laugh Factory, you have to bring your card. Your vaccination card, I think.
That feels like so pre-war.
It's like you need a ticket to get a ticket or something.
I know that right before the pandemic, they were starting to take people's cell phones. This world is going to.
Yeah, well, that's the new thing with the comedy clubs too. Is like they'll lock up the phones in those bags.
But isn't that ironic? The whole way to get popularity and build your following is having social media following. So anytime someone's going to post something of you, it's going to be nothing but helping the club and.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting conversation for comedians because it's like. They don't want people recording their material or stealing it or whatever, but at the same time...
It's not about that. At the improv, they only want improv-approved comedians to have improv
right, the tape and all that stuff. Yeah, we went through all that.
But nobody... Thing, guess what? Speaking about stealing, I went into, what do you call it, a rabbit hole when you start Googling everything.
Yeah.
When I was going to be on your show, Anthony had me look up Dennis Leary's I'm an Asshole.
Oh, yeah. That's a good song.
So we watched it. Then, of course, I started researching that he was accused of plagiarizing Bill Burr and all this kind of stuff.
Dennis Leary was?
Yeah, not Bill Burr. Is it Bill Burr?
Bill Burr is now. Dennis Leary is like way before Bill Burr.
No, not Bill Burr.
Someone else.
No. Bill Hicks, sorry.
Bill Hicks, okay.
Bill Burr.
So Dennis Leary was accused of stealing Bill Hicks's material.
Yeah, and so at the end of the day, we've all had our material stolen, of course.
Right,
but whether somebody's recording it or just listening to it, you could still steal it.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. It's like, well, that's the interesting thing about this clubhouse is like, because like they have these comedy rooms, like Laugh Factory hosts a room, open mic, all that stuff. And I'm like, all right, this is interesting. It's like it's a lot of people that are trying comedy for the first time or haven't really done much. But then people are going on there and doing their bits and their material. And it's like, yeah, what's to stop someone from just sitting there listening, writing down something they think is funny?
But also, people
aren't
thinking about this. You're providing these free things with all this content. So you're not getting paid. That's what was the issue, I think, with Swell, too, that – once somebody did my show, do they own their material or do they own their material?
Well, it's very fluid. And there's no recording in Clubhouse unless you record on like a board separately from the app or whatever. So like if you go into these comedy rooms and like there's no record of someone saying like, hey, I did this joke. This is my joke. You know, I just put it out there and it's just like anyone else listening that can steal something or whatever, you know.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see where it goes and what happens with it. But it's a fascinating time to like be involved in all this kind of stuff, I think. The reopening, these new apps.
But then I do feel like the saturation, you know what my big philosophy is, everybody's a comedian and whoever wants to be a comedian should try to be a comedian. I don't think it's a closed group. But then when there's so many platforms, how do you know where to watch? And I guess still the late night shows and stuff people will
watch. Late night shows, Netflix, I mean. Yeah,
oh, that's
YouTube,
another thing that came out. There's a new movie, I think, with Tiffany Haddish and Billy Crystal, which looks good. And while I was researching that, I saw there was
Billy Crystal's got a new movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Yay.
I haven't seen him in anything for a while, yeah.
There was another stand-up movie, I think, with Ben Schwartz and him in 2020, but I never saw it. But I think I'm always fascinated that movies and shows about stand-up never work. It's interesting. It only
I mean, it's. I think comedians enjoy it, but it's like, it's such a
inside.
It's such an inside world where it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, some things work, some things don't. You know, depending. Sometimes people don't want to see the behind the scenes of what it's like really going from show to show or mic to mic or whatever. You know, trying out.
And
stuff.
There's such a blurred line right now because all the influencers who I love, like the Instagram influencers. What they're doing is not stand-up, but there's no reason they couldn't do what they're doing at a club and kill.
Yeah.
Like whether it's Caitlin Riley, who I love so much, or Hannah Pilkey's, who I love, who did a podcast I produced called Murdergram, which you should check out. It's really fun.
Sure. Murdergram.
Yeah, Murdergram.
All right, I'll check it out.
Just murder stories, but with like a comedic sort of. I know.
Funny murder.
Yeah.
I like it.
it was short-lived. But what they do is so short and fun. It would be fun to have an evening of lineup of these Instagram
events. Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's just redefining the art form.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, and comedy has become so different. Like, yeah, you could do, like, a night of TikTok people at the improv or whatever.
I'd like to watch a night of mukbangs.
Yeah. I mean, and then people, that show would probably sell out for, like, a younger crowd or whatever.
Not probably. Of course, because it's the people with the following. Right now, casting-wise, too, people want... the influencers with the following more than actors too. Right. So if you did a night at the Improv with like the top 10 Instagram, although it'd be hard to get them,
influencers.
It would be so much fun. And there could be a Q&A and there could be signing.
Yeah.
And
you can show like pictures from their feed or whatever on the screen or something. I don't know.
We might have to pitch that.
There you go. You get your top influencers on a show. That could work. Something new. You never know.
If you don't follow Caitlin Riley, you have to follow her. She's my fave.
I will follow her. Yeah. All right. Well, Leslie, you've really put yourself out there today. You came on the show. You were a real asshole. We learned that, you know, if someone messes with Leslie's child, she may take your kid out at some point. Delicately, of course. we also learned that if you're an actor, don't stalk Leslie, even though she puts herself out there. Don't be asking her for rides to auditions or favors.
And don't ask to pick my brain.
Don't pick anything. Don't just be thankful that Leslie has sent you an audition. Do your best and don't harass her.
Don't harass her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. The way we usually end this show is you state your name and say that you're an asshole. So the floor is yours.
Do you say I'm first or just your name?
You say I'm blank your name, yeah.
I say, I'm Leslie Wolf. I'm an asshole.
There you go. There you go, folks. Leslie Wolf, she's an asshole. But she redeemed herself today by coming on the show. She can go in peace now. Make sure you check out Leslie on her Instagram at Leslie Wolf is the photobomb. Leslie has her Fresh Faces of Comedy workshops.
5-week comedy class.
5-week comedy class. When is the next one starting?
Next one actually starts Wednesday night, and I have another one in July.
This Wednesday, okay, and then we go into July for the next one.
And any listeners of I'm a asshole,
yes,
can get a discount.
There you go. See, so if you guys are interested in taking Leslie's class, hit me up, and then I will forward you to her to enroll in her class. And it's a lot of fun. You learn a lot. You meet a lot of great people. It's all over Zoom right now, so you can take it anywhere. I know we have listeners in Germany and Canada. So if you guys are interested in, you know, speaking English, or we have a translator or whatever, I don't know how that would work. But hit me up if you want to take Leslie's class. It's super fun. And then there's a performance at the end of it on Zoom. And eventually, I guess, at some point, go back to live whenever that happens. Thanks for coming in, Leslie.
It was a pleasure. You are my favorite, as you know.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. All right. Well, this has been Leslie Wolf. And remember, folks, don't be a basshole or an asshole. But if you are, laugh about it and talk about it. Yes. See you next time.
You've been listening to I'm an Asshole with Doug Bass. Please subscribe to us on all streaming platforms. Have a good asshole story? Email us at doug@dougbasscomedy.com. We'll see you next time.